The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department of Dominican University of California. Welcome to the Beyond the Bite podcast. I'm your host, DJ Sample, and on this podcast, we take a dish and talk beyond the taste and discuss the culture and significance behind the dish. Join me as we travel across various cultures through flavor. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Beyond the Bite podcast series. I'm your host, DJ Sample. And for today's episode, I wanted to talk about something maybe familiar to you guys. You've probably had it before or you're planning to have it. And that is barbecue, but not just any barbecue. It's Texas barbecue. So without further ado, let's jump into this, shall we? You don't find Texas barbecue. It finds you. The smell arrives first. Heavy, sweet, unmistakable. It slips into your jacket, your hair, the fabric of your car seats. It lingers in a way that perfume never could. It's not asking for permission. It's announcing that somewhere close by, someone has been awake for a very long time, and for that someone to have been tending to a fire. The parking lot is empty when you pull in. There's not really any signs of life, except for a pickup truck and that soft orange glow leaking from behind a tin shed where the pit lives. Inside, you'll find the pit master, already in motion. Not hurried, not theatrical, but just steady. There's a rhythm here that doesn't really need an audience. Logs stacked with care. A glance at the thermometer that feels more like a courtesy more than a necessity. Coffee poured hours ago and long since gone cold. Texas barbecue begins in the dark because brisket doesn't recognize clocks. It recognizes heat, smoke, and time. And it will take as much of all three as you're willing to give. Now, Texas barbecue wasn't born in a restaurant kitchen, but it was born in meat markets. Back in the 1800s, German and Czech immigrants settled across Texas and opened up butcher shops. They understood preservation as well as they understood thrift. They understood that nothing can go to waste. Everybody back then thought that brisket was a problem cut. It was tough, it was fibrous, which made it cheap for a reason. But these German and Czech immigrants had smoke, they had salt, they had a lot of time. And slowly they learned that if you treat brisket with patience instead of force, it will reward you. That tough muscle would surrender, the fat would render, the meat would soften into something that almost is luxurious. None of that sugar rub, no sauces, and certainly no disguises. They just had salt, pepper, and smoke, as well as hours of quiet attention. A whole brisket goes onto the pit before the sky lightens. 15 pounds of stubborn muscle that will sit here for half a day. And the pit master stays with it. He watches the smoke like it's telling him some secrets. If it's thin and blue, then it's perfect. But if it's thick and white, then something has gone wrong. That's when a vent opens slightly, and the pitmaster adds a log, gently, but never throwing the log. He's not controlling the fire, he's cooperating with it. Because Barbecue isn't cooking. It's rather caretaking. You don't really rush brisket. You don't convince it to become something you want it to be. You create the conditions and let it find its own way there. By late morning, cars begin to roll in. Nobody really asks where the line starts, but the people just know. They settle into a place like they've done this before, even if it's their first time. Later, lawn chairs appear, coolers open, someone offers a beer to a stranger, a man tells you he drove 2 hours, a woman says her grandfather used to bring her here when she was a kid, and over there in the distance, you can see a couple debating on how early is early enough to guarantee a brisket before it sells out. Nobody's really impatient. That's because waiting is a part of it. The smoke drifts across the lot, wrapping everyone in the same smell, the same anticipation. Phones stay in pockets, and people talk. Barbecue creates a space where nothing else really feels urgent. When you step into the pit room, the air changes. It's thick, hot, loud with the sound of fire doing steady work. The pitmaster hasn't left his space in hours, and then you start to realize this really isn't a job that you clock in and out of. It's a commitment to staying persistent with something that very much demands attention. He presses a finger into the brisket, not just to check the temperature, but to feel resistance, to sense readiness. There is really no timer for this, no exact science. It's just experience, layered over years of mornings just like this one now. When the brisket finally comes out, it rests, like it needs to catch a breath. Then it meets the cutting board. The knife slices through with almost no effort. A pink smoke ring circles the meat. Proof of hours spent in the pit. Fat rendered into something so silky and rich. Juices just collecting on the wood. Slices fall onto brown butcher paper. There's no plate, no garnish, no decoration. You just pick it up with your fingers because that's how this was always meant to be eaten. Nowadays, barbecue is really famous. You could see it ranked, reviewed, definitely photographed. But the heart of it never really cared about attention. It cared about doing something slowly, carefully, the hard way. Because that's what the meat required. You can buy the smoker, copy the rub, you can copy a YouTube video for all you care, but something you can't fake are the hours of dedication just for one brisket, let alone an entire career. Since we're on the topic of Texas barbecue, I might as well share a story that I've never really shared before. It must have been around a year ago, around this time. And lo and behold, it was college admission season. And so me and my friends wanted to reveal where we were going or where we got accepted into right after we ate. So we had decided to try authentic Texas barbecue without really going to Texas. and we'd found a spot in SF, which sounds kind of ironic, but it was called Baby Blues. And it was pretty good food, very expensive, but that's besides the point. When we pulled into the parking lot, the smell of smoke just really hit us before we even opened the doors. There was a big line of strangers stood outside, talking like old friends. By the time we reached the counter, the brisket was landing on the brown butcher paper right in front of us. There was really no plates. There was just white bread, pickles, coleslaw. It was just simple. We sat down outside just for a few minutes. Nobody really said anything. We were admiring the food, taking pictures, trying it, making excited noises, I guess, letting the food do its thing as the smoke from the pit settled into our hoodies. We can also hear the traffic humming in the distance. And then one of my friends suggested that we open them now. And so all of us pulled out our phones and we started checking them one by one. Some people got into Davis. Some people got rejected from USC. Some people got waitlisted from UCLA or rejected. It was just a mixed bag of emotions. As for me, well, I got into some good schools, and I didn't get into some other good schools, but that's when I found Dominican. When I applied to Dominican, I didn't really think about much. I had my sights set on USC for some unrelated major to what I am doing now, but something about that letter just really spoke to me, and the major I'd gotten. It was also convenient because it's still in the Bay, and even though the school is just a little bit smaller than USC, I had still heard good things about it, and especially for the major that I'd gotten. After all was said and done, I started to realize, when am I ever going to see my friends in a position like this, where we can hang out and talk every day, without a worry in the world, without major responsibilities? It kind of made me sad, you know, thinking about what everyone's future was going to be and where everyone was going to end up. But now that I'm here, I'm sort of happy. I found a new chapter in my life, and I'm sure they have too, but who knows what could have happened if I had ended up going to a different school? Who knows? Maybe I wouldn't be sitting here in front of this microphone talking about my life and learning a lot about myself while making this podcast, but I'm glad I am, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. So I'll leave you guys with this. Sitting at a picnic table with a brisket dripping onto paper, you realize this food isn't trying to impress you, but more, it's trying to comfort you. People linger, they talk longer than they're meant to. They share tables with strangers who don't feel like strangers for very long. Texas barbecue isn't about spectacle. It's about that smoke. That time, care. Follow the smell long enough, and you don't just find brisket. You find patience, community. And a reminder that some things are still worth living for.